Erica Jeanette Williams.
You have the opportunity?
Yes, sir.
Okay, the Honorable Mr. Louis Cabanis will be conducting your hearing. He will be the lead, so that's all on, Ms. Williams.
Okay.
Thank you, Doctor. Ma'am, can you hear me clearly?
Yes.
Can you state your full name and ADC number for the record?
Erica Jeanette Williams, 284-899.
Thank you, and good morning.
Good morning.
You appear before the Arizona Board of Executive Clemency for a revocation hearing regarding your community supervision. This hearing is regarding the one alleged violation listed under warrant of arrest. You should have been given a form notifying you of this hearing at least 5 days ago. I see that you signed that form on just 1 second. May 25th, 2018, is that correct, ma'am?
Yes.
That form listed your hearing rights. One of those rights is that you could hire, at your expense, a lawyer to represent you. Hearing no attorney with you, are you representing yourself today, ma'am?
Yes.
I would like to introduce you to the members of the board conducting the hearing with you today. You cannot see us, as this is a telephonic hearing. But in the hearing room, we have the Honorable Mr. Michael Johnson, the Honorable Ms. Dale Rittenhouse, our esteemed board chairman, Dr. C.T. Wright, the Honorable Mr. David Neal, and my name is Louis Quinones. I'll be serving as the panel lead for this hearing.
Okay.
Also in the room, we have a community corrections officer, Mr. Westby, and he'll be representing the Department of Corrections as well as your parole officer.
Okay.
Before we get started, I need to swear you in. So Ms. Williams and Mr. Westby, do you solemnly swear to tell the whole truth and nothing but the truth? So help you God, or so you affirm.
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ms. Williams, this hearing will be conducted in two phases. Phase one will be to determine if you violated the conditions of community supervision, with phase two deciding if your supervision should be continued or revoked. When I read the allegation to you, you need to respond whether it is true or false. If you believe the allegation is false, the board will take further testimony from the Department of Corrections, and we can talk about it, but keep in mind the board will make the final determination whether or not you violated your supervision. Do you understand what I just explained to you?
Yes.
Thank you. I'll begin phase one by reading from the warrant of arrest. According to the warrant, you violated the conditions of supervision and have lapsed or probably about to lapse in the criminal record company as follows. Allegation number one, violation of condition number two, as demonstrated by your failure to report for a face-to-face contact visit on or about March 9, 2018, as verbally directed on March 8, 2018, you were actively avoiding supervision. Ms. Williams, is this true or false?
False.
Okay. Based on your statement of false, we're going to take further information from our parole officer, but if you'll just remain on the phone, we'll come back to you shortly for a few questions, okay?
Okay.
Thank you. And keep in mind, we are only in phase one. Mr. Okay. Westby.
On March 8, 2018, an offender called P.O. Heffelfinger and stated she was unable to report that day as scheduled. The offender's report date was rescheduled to March 9, 2018. On March 9, 2018, the offender failed to report as directed. The offender's actively avoided supervision. On March 15, 2018, the offender called to report she had a new phone number. She was directed to report to the parole office on March 16, 2018. The offender failed to report on March 16 as directed. On March 19, 2018, P.O. Heffelfinger tried to call an offender where voicemail was not set up yet. On March 19, 2018, P.O. Heffelfinger left a voice message to the offender's sponsor slash sister-in-law to have the offender call the P.O. No response was received. On March 20th, 2018, P.O. Heffelfinger went to the offender's approved residence at 125 West Calle Antonia, Tucson, Arizona, 85706, and dropped off a notice of non-compliance letter directing the offender to report to the Tucson Regional Parole Office on March 21st, 2018. On March 21st, 2018, the offender left a voice message to the P.O. Heffelfinger stating she received a non-compliance letter and left the phone number where she could be reached. On March 21st, 2018, P.O. Heffelfinger called the offender and left a voice message to call the P.O. No response was received. for the Apple Fingers spoke with the offender's mother, who stated the offender planned to report to Tucson Regional Parole Office on that date. The offender failed to report on March 21st, 2018, as directed. On March 22nd, 2018, and April 9th, 2018, Pio Heffelfinger left messages for the offender's mother and Ames emergency contact to have the offender report to the Tucson Regional Parole Office. On March 21st, 2018, and April 9th, 2018, Pio Heffelfinger left voicemail messages for the offender directing a report to the Tucson Regional Parole Office. No response was received. Pio Heffelfinger was unable to leave a voice message for the sponsor slash sister-in-law due to her voicemail not being set up. The offender was not in the Pima County Jail. The offender was not at St. Mary's Hospital, Banner Medical Center, or St. Joseph's Hospital. And attached to the warrant is a copy of the notice of non-compliance, which is directing Ms. Williams to report to the Tucson Regional Parole Office, 1275 West Sarah Pass Boulevard, Tucson, Arizona, on March 21st, 2018, no later than 10 a.m.
Thank you, Ms. Wesby. Back to you, Ms. Williams. It sounds like that your parole officer made many attempts to make contact with you, so what is false about this allegation?
I went to see her on March 8th, and I was in the parole office. I had talked to her, and so that's part, the false part. She wanted to see me again the middle of the month, because I had lost my job and she wasn't able to get in contact with my sister-in-law, and she hadn't gotten in contact with her yet since I had been released. So she wanted to get on the same page with me, so she wanted me to come back in on the 16th. And because I missed testing on the 15th, that's why she wanted to get in contact with me again. So, but everything else is true. She did try, I was calling her, and she kept telling me, I don't want to get any more calls from you. I need to see you. You need to come face to face with me. And I never made it in. But I did see her on the 8th, so.
Thank you, ma'am. Mr. Wesby, just for clarification, was there a face to face on the 8th?
No, there was not. I'm looking at the crime notes here from Officer Weed, and it says March 8th, 2018. This was at 4:58 p.m. The offender's called stating she was going to St. Mary's Hospital, rescheduled the next report date to March 9th, 2018, directing her to bring medical documentation to her next report date. So there was no face-to-face contact at the Tucson Parole Office on the 8th. She was directed to come in the following day.
Thank you, Mr. Wesby. Okay, Ms. Williams, I'm going to go ahead and make a motion to pass from phase one to phase two, but this will not end the hearing, so if you'll just sit tight, we'll come back to you shortly.
Okay.
Based on the information provided to this board in warrant number 2018, W1081, as well as information provided by the Department of Corrections, I move to find Ms. Williams delinquent as she violated the terms and conditions of her supervision and that she may have or have lapsed in a criminal razor company.
Second.
Agreed.
Seconded by Mr. Neal, agreed upon by Dr. Wright, Mr. Johnson, and Ms. Rittenhouse. Okay, Ms. Williams, we're going to continue with the second phase of the hearing, and it is during this phase that the board will determine whether or not your supervision should be continued or revoked. But before we move on, please stand by as Mr. Wesby, our in-house community corrections officer, is going to give us some background information regarding your case. So if we'll just remain on the phone, we'll come back to you shortly for questions and you'll be able to speak to the board in detail. Okay, ma'am?
Okay.
Thank you, Ms. Williams. Mr. Wesby.
On January 23, 2018, Ms. Williams was released from the Arizona Department of Corrections. She was arrested May 2, 2018 by Marana PD. There were no new charges. She was back in DOC custody on May 2, 2018 with an adjusted community supervision end date of July 17, 2018, 54 abscond days. Her current conviction, 2017, forgery, 1 year. She has a prior conviction in 2013 for theft, 1 year, 3 months. This is her second term in DOC, CUIR score 2-2, mental health score 3, substance abuse score 3. There's no gang information noted. prior term of supervision, 2014, TIS release completion, 5 months. Her disciplinary violations are minimal. Other arrest, 1997, theft, Arizona, juvenile probation, 2003, stolen property, California, felony conviction, state prison. 2004, burglary, second degree, California, felony conviction, state prison. 2004, theft, California, felony conviction, state prison. 2008, burglary, California, felony conviction, state prison. 2010, stolen property, California, felony conviction, state prison. Her community risk score is a G5B4.
Thank you, Mr. Westby. Back to you, Ms. Williams. Just give me 1 second. Okay, Ms. Williams, I'm going to make a quick review of your case supervision summary. It looks like that you were released from the Department of Corrections with an approved residence at Exodus House, 3765 East Fall Place, Tucson, Arizona. On March 2nd, 2018, you were approved to reside with your sister-in-law, Lakeisha McGee, at 125 West Calle Antonia Road, Tucson, Arizona. So, Ms. Williams, was that the only place that you lived when you were on community supervision?
Yes.
Now, you were missing from community supervision for 54 days, so were you still at that residence?
Yes.
Thank you. We do not have any notes that you were employed while you were outside of the Department of Corrections, so were you working at all?
Yes, at Copper Star. On my second visit to her, I gave her that information.
Pardon me, I got past that. It looks like that you were employed at Copper Star, but did you work there the entire time, or did you?
No, it was about a month.
Right.
It was a trial review, and someone who had a driver's license was there, and they hired them instead of me. I was just there for a trial run.
So did you work anywhere else?
Huh?
Did you work anywhere else?
No.
Okay, I just wanted to make sure. We have programming notes that you assigned a task for the Color of the Day program, assigned to the Color Mint. You failed to submit a specimen when your color was called on February 23rd, 2018 and March 15, 2018. You submitted a specimen when your color was called on March 2nd, 2018, which was negative. You were to enroll in substance abuse and mental health treatment. You reported that you had an intake at La Frontera on February 20th, 2018. Parole Officer Heffelfinger contacted La Frontera but was unable to confirm if you attended an intake. So did you attend any appointments or intake at La Frontera?
No.
Okay, thank you. So, I recognize that there's a lot of information about attempted meetings or scheduled meetings with your parole officer, but it looks like that eventually you broke off contact, so why did you give up making contact with your parole officer?
Well, when I didn't get hired at the job, I got kind of discouraged, and I was trying to get a job anywhere else and just to, like, prove that I can do something, that I can be better. And, I mean, even though she told me that that is no reason for me not to come in, I still felt, you know, like I should have something to go show her. And, you know, I just kind of got discouraged. There's no excuse.
Well, that's unfortunate, only in that it's usually our experience that the parole officers are working with individuals coming out of the correction system to help that transition. There's not much support they can give when you're missing. I have here a note. Were you taken into custody by Mesa Police Department?
I don't remember
Somewhere in Marana.
I down, and I wasn't sure if it was in Tucson. So, was it in Marana, Ms. Williams?
Yes.
And what were you doing that cause the Medina Police Department to make contact with you? What were you doing at that time?
Stealing food at a store.
And were you arrested for that?
No. They let it go and they ran my name and seen that I had a warrant.
Ms. Williams, do you have any ongoing problems with drug abuse?
Yes.
And is there a particular drug of choice that's been causing you problems?
Meth.
Is that so far for you, ma'am?
It really has. It wasn't then. It's been in the past. I mean, when I did all the time that I did, the 7 months in the county jail, when I got out, I wasn't using.
So when is the last time you used methamphetamine, Ms. Williams?
Right before I went to jail in June last year.
Okay. I'm going to take some further information from our community corrections officer. Yes, Mr. Westby.
Yes, I just want to advise the board that there were some notes here that that Ms. Williams does have an open court case here. This is she received a ticket on March 4th, 2018 for possession of paraphernalia from Tucson Police Department. Because it said that she was walking down the street with a bag of clothes, a friend came over, the police searched the bag and found drug paraphernalia. And so these notes here, dated April 12, 2018, says that there's an open court case in Pima County Justice Court regarding possession of drug paraphernalia. The next court date was supposed to be April 27, 2018, which was after she was sent out from supervision.
Thank you, Mr. Westby. Okay, I'm going to ask my fellow board members if they have any questions for you, Ms. Williams.
Okay.
I have no questions from fellow board members. Ms. Williams, you're getting very close to the end of your hearing. Is there a final statement you would like to make to the board before we go into discussion? We really ask that you don't repeat anything that you've already told us, but this is your hearing. So is there anything else that you feel is important to share?
Just that I would like another chance. I don't want to see this as a failure. I don't know. Well, I'm kind of nervous, so I don't really know what to say. But I just want another chance. That's all.
Thank you, Ms. Williams, and thank you for being so pleasant with the board. The board will be going into discussion now. It may sound like that we're speaking directly to you, especially because we're on the telephone. But it is the board discussing the case amongst itself. Before we come to our individual votes under the open meeting laws of Arizona. So if you'll just stay on the phone, we'll come back to you shortly with our decision.
Okay.
Thank you, ma'am. The board is now in discussion. Fellow board members, this is an unfortunate case, especially because it sounds like that there was a fair amount of good faith attempts by the parole officer to establish contact with her during the beginning of the community supervision, and it just did not work out. I heard what Ms. Williams had to say about not finding work, and I certainly empathize with her wanting to stabilize, but she would have needed to maintain contact with her parole officer, and she did abscond for 54 days. So with a little less than a month left on her prison sentence, I am not finding her a suitable candidate for community supervision, but I'm certainly open to the input of my colleagues. Hearing no further discussion, I'm going to make a motion, and that is based on the information provided to us in warrant number 2018W1081, our discussion with Ms. Williams, as well as information provided by the Department of Corrections. I move to revoke community supervision as Ms. Williams was delinquent, violated the terms and conditions of supervision and had lapsed, or was about to lapse in a criminal leisure company, inasmuch that she absconded from supervision for 54 days and we could not account for her activity, and that is my motion.
Second.
Agree.
Seconded by Ms. Rittenhouse, agreed on by Dr. White, Mr. Johnson, and Mr. Neal. Ms. Williams, your supervision has been revoked and you will be released on or about July 17, 2018. If you heard me in the discussion, that's a little less than 1 month away. So please take advantage of these last weeks to put together a plan for your return to the community. I know you're concerned about your success under the program, but you're a young person. You're only 33 years old. You do have your life ahead of you. You said that you stopped using methamphetamine, and I hope you're being straight with us, because it's always good to hear when someone has put that behind them. So again, if you can put together a plan for your return to the community, we wish you a safe and productive return when you are released on July 17, 2018. This hearing is concluded. No further discussion may take place, and Ms. Williams, we'd appreciate it if you give the phone to your CO3. Thank you.
Okay, thank you.